Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
What I'm talking about today is living our life on purpose. Not just with purpose, but on purpose. Because everybody was born with a purpose. Everybody is born with a purpose from God. And if you're alive today, it's because God has a purpose that he wants to yet fulfill in your life. You have fulfilled some of his purpose for your life, but if you're alive today, there's still more of God's purpose that he wants to fulfill for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's an amazing thing to know that you're such a God of purpose, that nothing happens without your knowing it, without your sometimes allowing it or permitting it or even initiating it. Father, all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And I pray that you'd open our eyes to see, open our minds to understand, and open our hearts to receive your word today, Father, as we speak about the importance of knowing and following your purpose for our lives. Purpose in the biblical sense is a deliberate intention. It means not just incidental, but there's a reason for it, a purpose for it. It was designed for a reason. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, if you want to follow along or you can just listen. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. God is in the process of working in you according to his good purpose. And you were put on this earth, and every one of you is unique before God, and every one of you has a mixture of gifts and talents and abilities and interests and things that you enjoy, passions, desires. God has placed those things in you, and he desires to use all of those things for his will, for his purposes, for his plans. God has also caused you to have connections with people. God intersects your life with lots and lots of other people in lots and lots of different ways, through family and neighborhoods and community and through all kinds of different ways, through work and schooling and friends and friends of friends and all the social networking things. God brings us together and connects us with people. And you have connections with people and relationships with people that God uses to accomplish his purposes in your life. And he wants to give you influence in those relationships that you have. And then God gives us passions. It's amazing. God gives us things that we really enjoy doing. God gives us things that we're really good at. God gives us things that bring us joy and bring us life. I remember the story years ago of there was a famous runner, and they made a movie. It was a story called Chariots of Fire. And he was a Christian man, and it was a really remarkable story. But one of the things that always caught me about that story was he said, "God made me fast." He was a very remarkable runner, and he said, "God made me fast." And he said, "When I run, I feel his pleasure." It's like God gave him a passion for running and running fast. And when he ran fast, he felt God's pleasure. Isn't that amazing? So when God gives you a passion, he gives you a gift or an ability like art or whatever it is, you'll find pleasure in doing those things that God has given you a passion for. Now, living life on purpose begins and ends with God. Inside of every one of us, God has placed something that causes our soul, whether we know him in a personal way or not, our soul is restless until it finds its rest and its place in him. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also set eternity in the hearts of men." There's something that's inside of us that yearns for eternity. There's something inside of us that knows that this is not all there is.
There's something inside of us that knows I am made for something more than just mowing my lawn, walking the dog, paying my bills. Although those are okay. That's not what you're here for. You're not here to just have nice, neat hedges. There's something of God's eternity that's in your heart that yearns to be expressed and lived out. He has placed eternity in all of our hearts, and we won't rest until we are moving towards that purpose in our lives. And so I'm sure that every one of you here desires to have a life that's meaningful. I had a job one time when I was an inexperienced young man looking for work to try to survive. And one of the things they told us is, when there's no customers in the store, just look busy. They never defined that. They just said, look busy. So I worked there with my brother, and we looked at each other and went, just what he's moving, looking busy. I mean, we knew there was eternity in our hearts, and we knew that was not it. But all of us long to leave something behind, a legacy behind, where when we come face to face with Jesus one day, we'll hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You worked to accomplish the purposes that I had for you while you were in this on this earth. In the Revelation chapter 4, if you want to turn there, you can, or you can just listen as I read along. Revelation chapter 4, you are worthy, O Lord, or our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. By your will they were created and have their being. God has never done anything incidentally. Everything God does is on purpose. Everything God does is for a purpose. And God has created us in his image, so we should also live with purpose, for a purpose. The reason I ride a motorcycle is because I really enjoy it. It's been a longing in my heart since I was about 8 years old. We lived in Southern California, and there was Harley Davidsons everywhere. There was choppers everywhere. There was motorcycles everywhere. And my brother and I were a year apart, 8 and 9, and we would always look at each other and say, someday we're going to get a big old Harley, and we're going to go out and ride the highways. And that passion has been in my heart ever since I was a little boy. That's 50 years ago. But it was, we had this desire, this passion, this to just fulfill that dream in our life. So God created us in his image, and he wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. He created you because he loves you, and the very reason that you're alive today is because he has purposes yet to fulfill in your life. Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. The purpose that God created you for is to know him, to love him, and to serve him. And that's the purpose that, in the general sense, that God has for you. He also has specific things for you to do, too. But one of the primary purposes that God has for you is to serve other people. We were put on this earth to use our talents, use our abilities, use the things that we have passions for, the things that we have desires for, the things that we're good at, the things that we long for. God wants us to use those things to serve other people. It's not just for our own benefit. It's also for the benefit of others. The most important thing is not how long we live, but what was the substance of our lives? What will you be remembered for? What kind of life is reflected in how you live your life? What will people remember you for? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We were created in Christ to do things that were worthwhile, do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So what is it that you're doing to serve the needs of other people? One of the ways that I found that I could be a blessing was I made a decision about in the early 90s. I was actually invited to participate in the chaplaincy program, and I thought this is an opportunity for me to use some of the gifts and the abilities and the talents that God had given me for serving other people. And so for years, I responded as a call-out chaplain with Sergeant Ted Smith and all the supervisors, all the sergeants and the commanders and lieutenants. They would be the ones that would call for a chaplain. They said, when people are in trouble, they call the police. When the police are in trouble, they call the chaplains. And so they would always call us and say, we need you right now. And sometimes, you know, we'd work a 24-hour day. So anytime throughout our 24-hour cycle, we could get a call that there was somebody that needed our services. And that was a way for me to invest the things that God had placed in me. It wasn't just for myself. It was for the benefit of other people, to serve the department, to serve the needs of the officers, to assist them in their situations, and to serve the people that they were also responding to as well. So that's part of all of our purpose, is to serve other people. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. But also, God's purpose is to build connections with people. I've said this to you before, but some of you may not have heard it. But before my wife and I got married, we had this desire in our hearts to get away from human beings. We didn't like people, and most people we knew didn't like us. And so we thought, this is a way we can solve this. We'll just move into a little cabin on the other side of Mount Susitna and grow marijuana. God mercifully saved us from that peril, and obviously that plan never came about, but we did not want to be around people because we didn't like people, and people didn't like us. But when we got saved, all of a sudden all that changed. All of a sudden it was like, wow, these people actually like us. They actually don't mind that we're here. They actually are inviting us over to their houses. And we began to find connections with people who really did genuinely like us. And we thought, this is amazing. And we started liking them. And so we began to build connections with people. And over the years, we built some amazing relationships with people. But God wants us to use our connections and our relationships and the people that we know to reach out and to influence other people. To live a balanced Christian life, everybody needs to be involved in family business. Every one of us that's a part of the family of God, the community of faith, needs to have something to do to help the family out. It's just how families operate. Every family should have something for every family member to do to help the family. And when we're in a church, we're a church family. So we should have some way that you serve to help make our church family function. Some way that you participate, children's ministry, serving, lots of different ways. There's lots of things that you can do to help the family. And every Christian should be involved in some sort of service to help the family out. What can you do to help the family? Give of your time, treasure your talents, whatever. But also every Christian, every follower of Christ needs to not only be involved in family business, but it be involved in the ministries of outside the family, outside of the community of faith. We need to be able to have something where we're using our time, our treasure, our talents, our connections to reach out to people in the community. God uses ordinary people. You don't have to be an extraordinary person to be used by God in extraordinary ways. One of the things that I found is that in many of my responses as a police chaplain, I was way, way over my head. I would get to the situation and realize, Lord, I just absolutely have no answers for this situation. I don't have anything that I could offer except my prayer and my presence. And many times that was all that was needed, was my prayer and my presence. And once in a while, God would give me more than that. But most of the time, it was the ministry of prayer and presence and support. And so I was just an ordinary guy. I was not some super ordinary Christian chaplain. I was just an ordinary guy. But God used me in extraordinary situations because of his grace. But God uses ordinary people to build lasting connections with ordinary people. And sometimes those relationships that you have with ordinary people lead to eternal relationships. They lead to, all of a sudden, you have an opportunity to talk to somebody about what is it that gives you hope in dark situations. You begin to start answering questions because of years of relationship that you built with people. But remember the plain, ordinary people who were involved in the kingdom of God when Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago? Mary was just a plain, ordinary little girl, little teenage girl. There was a carpenter who was just kind of an ordinary carpenter named Joseph. Just ordinary people, a couple shepherds, a couple other ordinary people, and yet God used those ordinary people to orchestrate extraordinary events by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. God can use your connections in just ordinary, everyday stuff. Riding a motorcycle. It's amazing to me how many times a motorcycle will open up a conversation. You pull up, and someone looks over at you, and they make a comment. Usually they're nice. Sometimes they're not. You just don't comment back. But you can use the things that you have, the things that you do, the things that you enjoy for opportunities to reach out and to connect with other ordinary people. Remember when Jesus called his closest followers? They were pretty ordinary guys. No rich guys, no famous guys. Commercial fishermen, an IRS agent, you know, just not just ordinary guys. But that's the point. God always calls ordinary people to build relationships with ordinary people to orchestrate extraordinary events. There have been extraordinary things happen in my life through my connection with ordinary people because God is involved. What God is looking for is people who have a simple faith to believe that he's able to do what he said he would do. When two or more are gathered, Jesus said he'll be there in a unique way. That's extraordinary. That doesn't happen when I'm by myself. But when two or three of us gather, something happens that doesn't happen when we're by ourselves. What God is looking for today are not noble people, but honest and humble ones. What God is looking for are not powerful people, but willing and faithful ones. Take a look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul the Apostle is writing to the church in Corinth, and he talks about what they were. He says, brothers, chapter 1 and verse 26, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. When I got called to follow Christ, I was not wise by human standards. I was not wise by any standard. I was a wise guy. And I don't mean that in the wise sense. I mean in the, okay. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world. How many can relate to that? God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He took a hippie and made him into a pastor, made him into a chaplain. That's amazing. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. I can't say my success is due to my extraordinary intellect. I can't say it's my amazing wisdom. It's all because of the extraordinary dispensation of God's grace in an ordinary man. Does that make sense? He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised thing, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I can brag on what Jesus has done in the life of an ordinary man. I can boast about that because what he's done has been nothing less than extraordinary. And that's what he wants each of you to be able to say. Your life is purposeful. It's meaningful. There's a reason to get up in the morning because of what God is doing in your life and how God is taking you someplace and he's using you in remarkable ways. God's call has not changed, and he's still looking for people who will follow him. To follow him still means to leave your old life behind and take up his life. To be a follower of Jesus is to join him on his quest to reach men and women and boys and girls for Christ. That's what it means to follow him, to live life on purpose. That I purposefully am using the stuff in my life, the relationships, my abilities, my talents, my hobbies, my desires, my passions. I'm using those things to connect with other people, to show the love of God, to serve them, and maybe perhaps somehow they might come to know Christ. During Jesus' life on earth, he started a revolution. Do you think of Jesus as a revolutionary? He brought a revolution of love that the world did not even understand. He came to demonstrate God's love, a love that was not based on receiving anything in return. They had not understood that concept. The whole concept of agape love, sacrificial love, was new to the Greek culture. They didn't even understand the word, what it meant to love somebody sacrificially and unconditionally. It wasn't even in their concept. And he introduced that to them. It was not based on receiving anything in return, a love that was willing to sacrifice and lay down its life for all for the benefit of someone else, even if they didn't respond to him. He was still willing to go the extra mile and show his love for them. Jesus came to set people free from the bondage of sin and the messes that they'd got themselves into. And then he came to invite us. He said, come and follow me on my mission to spread the revolution of love to others who don't know me yet. And so when God touches our lives are changed. We're different. We feel like there's a purpose now for why I'm here. There's a purpose for what happened in my life. There's a purpose for where I'm going. There's a purpose for the way God made me. There's a purpose why I like what I like, and I have certain passions for certain things. But the world was not ready to receive the revolution that Jesus brought. In fact, they tried to stop it. It was like he was shining the light in their eyes, and they did not like it. And they said, we're going to stop this revolution. We're going to nail it to a tree. But they didn't stop it. 3 days later, the light came back and shined back in their eyes. And they could not stop that revolution. And Jesus continued to say to his followers, go and make disciples to follow me. And we've also been called to follow this revolution, to join the revolution, to follow Jesus, to preach the good news, and to make disciples or followers of Christ. We've all been called. That's part of our purpose, is to help Jesus walk it out in our natural lives, making disciples. The world wants us to be civilized. They don't like it when we do marches and hold signs up. And they don't like it when we rally around causes and get people out to vote for moral issues. The world doesn't like it when we do stuff like that. They want us to be civilized. Just stay in your church and just be nice. They want you to be domesticated. Moo. Just stay there and chew your cud and don't bother us. Just leave us alone. The world does not warmly receive the good news message. Today people will tell you that religion is a personal thing. Just keep it to yourself. It's okay for you to believe what you want, but just don't make anybody uncomfortable by asking them questions about faith or eternity or what they believe or what's the morally right thing to do, because that makes them uncomfortable. But to be a wholehearted follower of Christ means that we have to be not domesticated. We have to be people of passion, people who are not afraid to express our passions in wise and passionate ways. We've embraced the cause of Christ, and we know the cost of following him is great. And sometimes you lose friends, sometimes family members, because of your passion, because of your desire to follow him, because of the purpose of God in your life. It sometimes kind of casts a shadow, and people don't like that. You might suffer indignation by others, and they tell you to settle down. Simmer down now. Settle down. Don't get so worked up. You don't need to get passionate about it. We're just having a friendly discussion. You don't need to be telling us what's right and wrong and what you believe about stuff. But there's something in us. Eternity is in our hearts. We know that there is a reason why we're here. We know that nothing happens by accident. We know that God sets things up. One of the things I just marvel at is what has been referred to as divine appointments, or a divine contact, where you run into somebody and you go, I haven't seen this person in years, and I've seen him twice in the same week. What's that all about? What is God doing in this relationship? Or you'll somehow meet, I met somebody not long ago and they said, I've heard of you. I thought, uh-oh. I don't know why I feel that, you know, uh-oh. I mean, I should say, well, praise God, you know. But I didn't know what they heard about me. So fortunately what they said was really nice and I was really blessed. But when somebody says, I've heard about you, what have you heard? But there's something that God has placed in each of our hearts for eternity. There's something that God has placed in your hearts to not just live a dull existence. There's something inside of you that says, I'm going to just do more than just live my life and pay my bills and clip my hedges. There was a commercial years ago for Harley Davidson, of course. And it was this old grandpa sitting on a porch talking to his grandkids. And he says, yeah, when I was a boy, I always dreamed about getting a Harley-Davidson motorcycle and going out there with the wind and the breeze and the air blowing through my hair and the sound of that motor underneath you, just driving for miles. And the kids were all bright-eyed, and they said, really, Grandpa, did you buy a motorcycle? He goes, no, I went and bought aluminum siding. And the kids go really sad, like, oh, that's tragic. But there's something that God has placed in us for adventure, for passion, for living our lives. How's life going? Oh, you know, same old, same old. Same old, same old. What does that even mean? Those aren't even English words, and we say that, same old, same old. Is that some code for boring, don't ask me? Monotonous? Gag me? I wish I was out of here. What if you say, how's your life? Oh, man, it's an adventure. But I remember ever since I was a kid, I had this inside of me. I was born with the heart of an adventurer. And so were you. God has placed inside of you a heart for eternity, a heart for adventure. I was born to dream. And I have been a remarkable dreamer. Sometimes my teachers would give me grades on my report card and said, Bradley is a dreamer. When it was time to do tests, I was dreaming. But I was born to dream. I was born to reach for the impossible, and so were you. I was born to have a passion, to be passionate about life, to be passionate about love and relationships, and so were you. You were born for those things. You see it in little kids, but the world beats it out of us. The world squeezes it out of us. The world domesticates us and says, you shouldn't be getting passionate about that. You shouldn't live your life adventurously. Heaven forbid. You should be nice, calm, and quiet and domesticated. But my brother and I always dreamed of building things. We always built forts and go-karts and tree houses. And one time we built a tree house and we didn't have much wood, and so it looked like a coffin between four little trees. And it was about 8 feet off the ground, and you had to climb up this rickety ladder, and it wasn't real big, so you had to kind of lay down in it. And then you just kind of slid the lid over the top of you. And it would only hold one kid at a time, and there's two of us. So we take turns getting in, sliding the lid over. How is it? Kind of dark. Slide the lid over. Okay, I'll get in. I'll try it out. And then we coaxed one of our neighborhood friends to get in, and we hammered the lid shut. And then my mom said, dinner time, okay. We went in for dinner, and my dad said, what's that noise? I don't hear anything. Let me out. So my dad went and freed the poor boy and chopped the thing out of the tree. But we longed for adventure. We would bury each other in snow caves, and we rode down streams on homemade rafts with no PFDs. We rode bicycles and had bicycle races and crashes with no helmets. We shot each other with BB guns. We rode skateboards with no helmets and knee pads and elbow pads. And most of the adults in our life were wondering if we were going to make it to adult life. They were trying to domesticate me. We used to try some of the craziest things. I remember one time, I was just a little boy. I was up on the roof of my house. And I was just about ready to just dive off. And this mature, kind, generous gentleman that lived across the street stopped me and came over and pulled me down and probably saved my life. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm just going to jump off. I was going to fly off. And he said that wasn't a good idea. So I'm glad he domesticated me at that point. But since I've become an adult, I struggle with the nice domesticated man that most of you know as Pastor Brad. Because inside of me, I still dream. Inside of me, I still long for adventure. I still think about taking one of these things and driving through 50 states. I still dream of that. Some people would say, oh, that's ridiculous. You're 58 years old. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm 58 years old. I should do it. But I know that there's still dreams in me and still adventures in me. There's still passions in me that I want to get out. I still love to build things. I still love to go on adventures. God is not done with me yet, and I refuse to be domesticated. I refuse to be harmless. Jesus came to call us to be passionate followers, not just same-o followers. He doesn't want us to be harmless and domesticated. He wants us to be dangerous. Right? I mean, we should be dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Here comes the Christians. Oh, don't worry about them. They won't hurt anything. They're domesticated. They'll just come in and eat a little hay and they'll just keep moving. No! We should be I heard a story about rhinos. They call, you know what they call a herd of rhinos? A crash of rhinos. Because they can run 35 miles an hour, but they can only see 35 feet in front of them. So they run at full speed until they hit something, and then they bounce off, and then they run again, you know, hit something and bounce off. That's how the church should be. We should be like a crash of Christians. Moving forward, advancing into the kingdom of darkness until we run into something and then change direction and keep crashing. Pushing back the gates. Hello? Am I talking to the right people? I don't want to hear any more moos. Come on. But it takes faith to be an adventurer. It takes courage. It takes courage to step out and accept the adventure. I almost gave up on my desire to ride a motorcycle. In 2003, I turned 50, and I thought, I don't think it's going to happen. And then I had a divine encounter. A sergeant friend of mine, Joe Maston, came up to me in a store, and he said, Brad, because he knew I'd been a chaplain for 10 years with the department at that time. He goes, do you ride motorcycles? And I said, no, I used to. He goes, oh, because we're starting up another chapter of the Blue Knights, and we're looking for a chaplain. And I said, really? He said, it'd be nice if we could find a chaplain who rides. And I said, yeah. So he said, why don't you come to our next meeting? And so I go to their meeting. And in this meeting, I knew most of them there because they were all in law enforcement. And they said, unanimously appointed me as their chaplain. And so I'm standing there, and one of them said, do you have a bike? And I heard myself say words that surprised me. I said, no, but I'm going to get one. And I thought, did I say that? Was that my outside voice? So they rescheduled the next meeting for a month later. A month later, I had my license and a bike. I thought, whoa, the adventure's coming back. I do not have to know what God is doing. I just have to trust in his character and who he is. God has used the connections that I've made through being a chaplain and riding with the Blue Knights. God has used those relationships to allow me to be in the lives of some of our brothers and sisters who've been through some really awful stuff. And I've had the privilege of being there to officiate funerals and to be there to help them when they've gone through some personal crisis and stuff like that. And so God has used just a simple thing like riding bikes together and building connections to just be there and to be a friend, and a friend that they know and they can trust and they can open up to. And it's been one of the highest honors that I've had to ride with the Blue Knights, is to just take the years to invest in being in those relationships, and then just the right moment, God will work things out where you could be there to be a blessing and to serve. If you're a passionate follower of Christ, then you live your life following the heart of the King. You want what he wants. You have a passion for God, a passion for people, a passion to serve. When Christians give in and become domesticated, we're no longer a threat to the enemy. We're safe. We no longer storm the gates. We're not doing anything really to be ashamed of, but we're not really doing anything to be proud of. God wants us to not do stuff to be ashamed of, but he wants us to do stuff that we can be proud of. Say, I'm proud of the years that I put in serving in this capacity. He wants you to be proud of that. That's not a wrong thing. To be proud of being available to God and seeing his extraordinary grace work in your life in extraordinary situations. But if you're following passionately after your King, your life is an adventure. Your heart's full of love for him, and you're moving forward in God and allowing him to continually transform your life to being pleasing to him. I think I had a revelation to this. I'm not sure if it was a revelation or not, but you be the judge of that. But I believe that the desires that God placed in me when I was a kid are the desires that he wants all of us to have. The desire for an adventure, the desire to live a life that matters, to live a life that makes a difference, where we know we're giving back something that we've been so abundantly received. But God placed in me, God placed those desires in me for his purposes, not just for myself, for him. He made me to love adventure so he could take me on his adventure. He made me to love building things so he could use me to help build people. He gave me a heart that dreams all the time so I can have dreams, and big dreams and God-sized dreams that I could never accomplish without God's grace. I dream of things we can build in the natural, buildings that will help us to gather people and build relationships with them. I dream of this church being a place where people can find real, genuine community and find people that love them and care for them like family, where you can come and be transformed by the love of God. And deep down in your heart, I know you long for adventure too, to have an impact on others. I'd like to ask the worship team to come on back as I wrap this up. We're going to take some time just to respond a little bit. Many of us have lost the simplicity of our early faith. Remember when you had that faith where you thought, I can do just about anything with God. And then you get disappointed over the years and you go, I can do a few things with God. And then sometimes you go, I'm not sure if God is doing anything in me right now. God wants to restore us back to that one day I'm going to get a Harley passion. One day I'm going to do something for Jesus passion. He wants to restore that to us. Remember when you could believe God for anything? Nothing was too difficult for him. We sing this song. Do we really believe it? God wants us to believe it. It's time to get back to that place again. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then there is a powerful faith in you that God wants to unleash. He wants you to trust him to do what only he can do and stop trying to do it yourself. Because he cannot work through us if we just limit it to what we can do. But he wants to go beyond that. Philippians chapter 2, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe, like a luminary. You shine like a luminary in the darkness. Nobody ever lived a meaningful life by accident. Whoa, how'd that happen? Live your life on purpose and with purpose. Something or someone will occupy the center of your life, and you can choose today to let that be the purposes of God. To know him, love him, serve him. To know others, love them and serve them. I believe sometimes God grants us our natural dreams to increase our faith for our spiritual dreams. He says, if I can do that, I can easily do that. You're alive today because God still has a purpose for you. His purpose to know him, follow him, and serve him. His purpose to love and serve others. Use your talents and gifts and interests and your passions to serve other people. Live your life on purpose.